This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 2, 2014. Quinquagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. It's a newer translation. The older translation is, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. It's one of, if you talk to me more than two times, you know that that's one of my favorite scripture verses. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. It can sound really depressing, but if you delve into what our Lord is trying to communicate to us, it is nothing less really than the Christian life. It's a detachment from things of this world, and it's an embracing and throwing our arms or ourselves into the arms of the Savior. Whenever you get into these passages that contrast things of this earth, the mundane things, clothing, food, things of that nature, you really have to step back because you hear a lot about, you know, that sort of bifurcates, you know, well, you should hate these things. And Jesus is not saying that. He's not saying that at all. He's basically telling us to value the ordinary things of life and to rely on God's fatherly providence. In short, he teaches us to abandon ourselves, as I said before, into the arms of the living God. Notice he doesn't say, don't think about your life. Don't think about food. Don't think about clothes. Don't think about what you're going to drink. He doesn't say don't think about it. He says don't be anxious for it. We have a tendency, particularly in our society, to be anxious about things like that. We've really kind of lost sight, I would submit to you, of what we need and what we want. We live in a society that delves into the what we want. We think we know what we want, but God knows what we need. That's kind of the point that Jesus is trying to make with us here. Now that we don't think about these things, but we're not supposed to be anxious about these things. Food, drink, clothing, again, they're necessities. God knows they're necessities. I would have to submit to you also that in our society, what we have is immensely, immensely more than what we need. So, again, what he's talking about is getting a perspective, a proper perspective on things. Don't be anxious about food, drink, and clothing. He even says don't be anxious about your life. He said, well, what about life? Think about your life. It doesn't matter how old you are in here. You know, if you're in your 20s, you can remember when you were a little kid. When you're hitting the 50 mark, you can understand and you can appreciate and you remember what it was like when you were in your early 20s. And those of you who are older than that, you know, life is fleeting. I think back on things, where did the time go? Life is like that. We ought not be anxious about that because what can you do about it? That's what Jesus is telling us here. And for those of you who don't know, several of us just got back from a pilgrimage to Rome. And in Rome, you see a lot of neat things, particularly on a pilgrimage. They take in all these, you know, look at this guy's tomb and this guy's tomb. And I mean, there's some awesome tombs. I mean, I've prayed a lot for each and every one of you by name in front of a lot of these tombs. But you step back and you look at it. There's a place under the Vatican where there are the bones of St. Peter. You actually go down into the under these depths down there, and you look upon the bones of St. Peter himself. You went to the Basilica of St. Paul, where St. Paul is buried. And you think to yourself, St. Peter, you look at his bones, and you think, those bones there embrace the God-man. That jawbone there ate the fish that our risen Lord broiled after his resurrection. You can be somewhat overwhelmed when you look at things like that. You go into St. Paul's and you think about all the things that he went through in his life. Being beaten within an inch of his life, literally. Shipwrecked 3 times. Starved. The guy had a hard life. But all that hard stuff, you look at, and It's St. Peter and it's St. Paul. But guess what they are? They're dead. They're glorious. They're saints. They have their reward. We appreciate that. But they're dead. And guess what? Should the Lord tarry, and I don't want to be depressing about this whole thing, but should the Lord tarry 150 years from now, guess what everybody in this room is going to be? Dead. All right? So why get all bent out of shape and anxious about your life? You can get a little bit into that. Well, why aren't we supposed to do that? The Lord gives us really two reasons. One, because the Gentiles seek after these things. All this clothing and drinking and food and whatnot, to overemphasize that, that's what the world does. But again, he says secondarily, and probably I would, it comes second in the scripture, but I would say it's actually primary, it should be in the forefront of our lives, that your Heavenly Father knows that you need food, He knows that you need to drink, He knows that you need clothing. But again, in our society, we have to appreciate that there's a big difference between what we want and what we need. That's where the Lord's going with this. Appreciate that God will provide your necessities. That don't seek and be anxious to have a whole lot more than that. And that doesn't make it inherently evil to want nice stuff. But again, you just got to have a perspective on it. That's what our Lord's talking about. Because He gives us reasons why we shouldn't be anxious about these things. But He emphasizes that we shouldn't be anxious for them because we should first and foremost seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. You will receive all these other things. I would actually submit to you that it is a matter of appreciating the things that you have when you adjust your life and you kind of focus on a life of grace. Well, a life of grace, what is that? It sounds really kind of churchy. Well, yeah, it really does. But the bottom line is, it is just a whole series of spiritual and moral values that are summed up in what we refer to as holiness. Now, a lot of people shut down when you start talking about being holy. They say, oh, that's for priests and bishops and monks and nuns and stuff like that. I just go to church on Sunday. We are all called to be holy, each and every one of us. You are to live a pious and a holy life as a Christian. It's not a suggestion. It is an imperative of our Lord. That's what He's talking about here. To seek His kingdom and His righteousness. The search for holiness is our primary goal in life. Or it ought to be. It should be our primary goal in Jesus. As I said, it's not a suggestion. He insists on it here. He insists on the primacy of spiritual demands that He places before us. Detachment from this life. Perfect week for this. Go figure, the church knows what she's doing when she does her readings. Ash Wednesday is this coming Wednesday. Lent starts. Lent is the manifestation of detachment from this world. For those of you who are in adult form this morning, and I said it this morning, where Lent became some kind of a dietary exercise, I don't know where that, you know, how that, I'm giving this up, I'm giving that, that's a good thing to give up. But it's much more deep than that. It's much more deep. I would actually say to you that it is a much better thing as opposed to giving something up to put something on your plate that you don't normally do. Such as going to an additional mass during the week that you would not normally have gone. You could say an additional rosary. If you don't say the rosary, say the rosary once a week. I don't know how to say it. Well, learn how to do it. It is very simple, but learn. Well, I've got this going on and I've got that going. That's the detachment part of it. Because when you add something to your life, you have to give something else up. Well, I like this show. I like that show. I like to be on this game on the computer or whatever. Hey, you might have to forego that for that's Lent. So again, whether you give up something, which is good, or whether you put something on, which I would say is better, it's about detachment from the things of this world. That's what our Lord is talking about here. That's where it's all summed up in this. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Very important. That is not a negative. That does not mean by any stretch of the imagination. You can't read that and go, oh, what are you saying, that every day is evil? That's not what the Lord is saying. What He's saying, it is useless. And I mean that absolutely, by the most precise definition. It is absolutely useless to worry about what happened yesterday or what will happen tomorrow. couldn't believe how many people come up to me, and when we discuss things, it's, you know, and they'll say time and time, oh, this happened in my past, and this happened in my past, and all that, I did this, and I did. So what? Go into the confessional, and it's over. And you know what? You can't do anything about it. No matter if it was great and glorious, or if it was the most horrible thing that a human being can do, if you go to confession and you come out of it, guess what? It's over and done with. Over and done. You don't. What can you do about it? You can't fix it. Well, the only thing you can come away with it and say, I won't do that again. That's what the Lord is saying. What's sufficient for the day is of the evil thereof. Sufficient for the day is to pay attention to what we can do some small thing about it here and now. Not in the past. It is over. It is done. And all it is a spiritual drag to harp on it. It will drag you down. And it's actually a source of temptation. Because it can be a source of temptation because you think back on what you used to. You got to have your eyes focused forward. But when I say forward, I mean forward to what I can do here and now about something. So it's a useless story about what happened yesterday. It is even more useless to think about what's going to happen tomorrow. The opening prayer today. The opening prayer said that we pray God to be kept. And this is kind of in your face. Faithless fears. Faithless fears. If you fear something that might happen, or if you fear something, after our Lord has said through his priest, I absolve you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, you're basically calling Christ a liar when you keep harping on things in the past and you have absolutely nothing you can do about the future. You don't know what the future holds. You know what? You don't even know if you have one. You are one critical, traumatic medical incident or one accident traumatically of having no future. You know, there's no guarantee that we're walking out of this door. You could very well be carried out. You know, for most of it, that's not going to happen, but you have to think about it in that perspective because that's very true. You don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. That's why the Lord emphasizes, you know, you can't add one span to your life. You can't make one hair of your head black or one hair of your head white. Pay attention to what you can do here and now. And I would say, the mass that you're sitting in right now, just as an example, the mass. You could do something about this mass right here and right now. You can start paying attention to what goes on in the canon. You can pay attention to the prayers that are being said, as opposed to sitting there and mouthing the responses because you know them, because you come here all the time, and thinking about where you're going to eat lunch afterwards or all the nonsense that's going to go on this week. Again, you might not have a this coming week. You can do something about the mass right now. I'm going to pay attention today. I'm going to pay attention to the prayers. I'm going to appreciate the fact that I'm going to receive within myself the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can do something about that here and now. You can think about the next couple minutes. You can actually, that is what our Lord is talking about when he says, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Pay attention to the things that you have some little tiny control over. And that's right here and right now. Because our Lord's imperative is that we live in God's presence and make good use of the present moment. That's the bottom line on the whole thing. Making good use of the present moment. Because that is the only thing over which you have control over. Okay? So the masses that you've attended in the past, well, I've never really paid attention to that before. Again, as I said before, that's water under the bridge. It doesn't make any difference. Pay attention to this one. And from henceforth, I'm going to do this. But again, we don't know if we're going to have a henceforth. So pay attention to this one here and now. Like every aspect of your life. I'll leave you with this quote from St. Jose Maria Escriva. I quote, do your duty now, without looking back on yesterday, which has already passed, or worrying about tomorrow, which may never come for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.